my sister-in-law, who live in a different city in Toronto, she actually forwarded this image because they are 3 hours ahead of us. She said the whole, every news in Toronto, they're talking about this image. Do you think there is anything to do with this family? So when my husband come and show me that picture, he wasn't sure. He said, I don't think you should see that picture. And then that's when I grabbed the iPad from him. That's when I look at that picture. And to be honest, at that moment, I didn't know that was Alan. But somehow I recognized the red T-shirt, the shoes, the short I picked up for him when I was in Turkey a year before that. And I said something about this boy, I think it belonged to us. And then when I forward the picture to my sister-in-law in Turkey, and that's when she was crying and she said, this is Alan.
Oh, my God.
Yep. I will never forget that moment. Never in my life. It's something about that image. It's just, you know, the way he was lying down, and he was just an innocent 2-year-old boy. Mm-hmm. He died 2 months after his second birthday. So, and it took me like a few hours until, you know, maybe 5 hours until I had a chance to talk to my brother, Abdullah. And then when we start, you know, the first thing I said to him, I said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that I give you that money and I'm guilty.
Yeah.
And well, he said, no, you are the best sister in the world.
Yeah, you had helped. You had helped. You had provided the money to help them get out of Syria and make that crossing.
Yes, I did. Yeah. And I will take that girl to my grave.
I'm asking you the question, does a woman's underwear provide evidence as to whether or not she has consented? And if they don't, why are you having them in court? Let's forget this case. That man was acquitted. Everyone accepts that and no one is suggesting otherwise. I'm actually going after the legal profession for what they did, not after this man. I want to know why you think it's okay to wave our knickers around the court, because I've never seen a pair of wife fronts in court. I've never seen a pair of boxer shorts in court. And I've never heard that a man's intention has been judged on his underwear. Do you understand what I'm getting at?
We're getting gusts of 120 kilometres per hour. So it's very, very gusty and windy. And Pat, to be honest with you, I'm actually doing this interview from a port-a-loo simply because the wind is so strong, you wouldn't be able to hear me. Other port-a-loos have blown over, but I've been told this one is safe.
Henry, too much information.
You see, having been a minister myself, I can speak to this with some authority. There were times when I called in the Secretary of the Department and I said, in relation to BSE or in relation to delivery scheme, I don't care, Permanent Secretary Sir Humphrey, how you do this. I just want it effing done. And are you, and it, like, this is the first big job you've got, I'm sure, because I'm hearing this from Fine Gael people, that you are a prisoner of yourself. You're not actually breaking hurling sticks over their head.
Ivan, I have to care how this is done. I can't just say...
I didn't say you didn't care.
I have to say, but I can't say that officials get houses built no matter how they're built or where they're built. I have to make sure that as we rebuild every single part of our housing sector, we do not repeat the mistakes of the past.
You literally just said sport is cruel, and I said it would be especially cruel now.
Yeah, but this is fascinating, Joe. Looking at... You're talking about the last...
Oh! It's a goal! It's a goal! Origi!
Oh my God!
Unbelievable! Quick corner, everybody stood. Everybody stood in the box, frozen. Quick corner kick into Origi. He's the only one who's on the move and inside the penalty box.
Oh my God!
Side foot, the first time into the top corner.
I literally felt a tectonic plate shift.
That's amazing.
I woke up in the middle of the night. It was 2 o'clock in the morning, and Lisa was gone from the bed, and I heard the shower. And I just looked at the bed next to me and there was blood. And I went into the bathroom and she was in the shower. She was actually more calm than I would have expected.
Yeah.
What?
God, that's horrific though for the two of you.
Yeah, what kind of got me was when I went into the bathroom, on the floor, it was, you could see the sack, if that makes sense. You could actually see it. And I didn't know what to do. So I kind of scooped up the blood and stuff on the floor and cleaned it up. And you don't realize what you're doing at the time. You're just kind of cleaning up a mess and you're trying to make it easier. Then you realize that you've disposed of what would have been, if you know what I'm saying.
I do know what you're saying.
Yeah. And you just kind of threw it away without thinking in the moment. Does that make sense? Now, my sister-in-law was actually pregnant at exactly the same time, and she would have been exactly the same time frame as my wife. So we went over to visit when the baby was born, and like as soon as the baby was put in Lisa's arms, she's just started crying, and because it would have been exactly that age, exactly. So there is kind of, you know, and as you know, when that happened the second time, there is like it was my wife's pain and my wife's suffering, and I was just kind of there to make sure she was okay.
May the 7th, 2019. Remember the date, folks, because it's the day when we knew at some point in the future we will again go bust. We again have lost the plot in this country. We again have lost the run of ourselves. What is being proposed, Ciarán, in this national broadband plan? It's reckless, it's folly, it's irresponsible, it's foolhardy. Pick whatever adjective you want. It is insane. Fine Gael loves to present itself as the party of fiscal rectitude, the party, the only party that can be trusted with the public finances, as if they would have done anything differently in the Celtic Tiger years. They wouldn't have, but because they weren't in office, they can say they would have. No longer can they say that. This is worse than anything done during the Celtic Tiger era. Why is it worse? Because at least back then, nobody really was shouting stop.
In general, from the 100 days of walking, I just want to say thanks to you for the motivation to get me off my ass back in back on the 1st of January. I was sitting at home New Year's Eve, and when you sent that tweet, I decided, you know what, this is something for me. And I suppose I took a step 4 days in when I posted my weight on Twitter. And from that, I kind of drove on from there. So I'm glad to say I've lost 22 pounds of weight over the 100 days. So,
20, yeah. That's a stone and a half. Fair play to you.
I was a junior minister when Eamon Gilmore and Enda Kenny set out about 400 odd million.
650 million is provided for. That includes provision for VAT, inflation, also a contingency cost in case something goes wrong.
It's been confirmed that the cost of the new National Children's Hospital will be over 1 billion euro.
National Children's Hospital has been mired in controversy over spiralling costs of the new facility.
These are eye-watering amounts of money, and that money has to come from somewhere.
A project that's gone from 800 million to 1.4 billion.
Built originally for 450 million.
And another 300 million would be needed.
650 million euro, 183 million euro
to 1.7 billion and rising.
That's one, followed by a seven, and then eight zeros.
This is all bullshit.
What's next for the National Children's Hospital?
Could you explain to the committee why these overruns were not anticipated?
Is the hospital to be built different to the hospital that was envisaged?
These are mistakes, mistakes, mistakes.
The terms of reference will be revised to enable PwC to identify individuals who made particular mistakes.
It seems absolutely astounding.
The chair of the body overseeing the construction of the National Children's Hospital has stepped down.
There's still an awful lot of questions to be answered.
Stay ahead of the story with Newstalk. On air, on newstalk.com and at Newstalk FM on social.
I walk to school with me granddad sometimes, and like sometimes I see across the road in the corners like a load of like girls and boys like injecting themselves, but like that could be anybody. So just respect them and like just make sure that you don't shout at them or like be like, I'd be ashamed of this country like because like tourists come over to like see that place and like and there's people over there like injecting themselves and like.
And one time I seen a fella passed out on the path with a needle in his thumb, so like it's,
it's hard to stop thinking about, if you know what I mean. They had lives as well, if you know what I mean, and now they're ruining it. And to build an injection centre right beside the school, it's good not for them to inject themselves right in front of the school now, but at the same time there's going to be dealings, and when drug addicts, what's it called, don't have any money for drugs, they'll end up shoplifting or robbing someone. And if the deal goes wrong or something, what's a fella's carrying a gun? So
is that something you worry about?
Yeah, because anything could happen.
When you were sent off the sideline, what was said to you?
Listen, that's the second time in a row that we have had a fella taken out off the ball. It happened in the last one here as well. Yet there seems to be one rule for one set of management and another for another. So I'm actually seeing that the officials again didn't abuse him. I was making my point quite clearly that our lad was taken out off the ball. They ended up getting a score, and that's not right.
To be devil's advocate, they would say that either it happened off the ball, they didn't see it, or they did the best decision that they saw at the time.
I think that's not the truth. Hey, hold on. Being honest, now you're giving me too many hard questions and I'm not interested in answering that stupid one.
No, it's not a stupid question. I'm just being devil's advocate. Bye, Davey Sloan.
Ivan, you have me for 60 seconds because there's a press conference about to happen. I can tell you that the nurses' strike tomorrow is suspended. The Executive Council have just come out of their meeting. They haven't given me any details on what the deal is, but I can tell you that the strikes for tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday are suspended. Literally, they're walking out of the room. Philney Hayes is about to make the announcements to the media here, but the information for patients is that the nurses' strike is off tomorrow.
And the term limits the government recognise are 9 years. We brought that in as 8 years. So we've actually lessened the term limit that the government would have recommended. And we've brought it in 2 years earlier.
Fair enough. Why no term limit for yourself? Arguably the most important and powerful person on the board. There's no term limit for you as chief executive.
I think in terms of a CEO is an employee of an organisation. I don't know of term limits for CEOs. I know there are other CEOs in sport who are there a lot longer than I am. And I think the most important...
That doesn't necessarily make it right, of course.
No, but that's, I suppose, an employee is an employee, Vincent.
I've also been in contact with Linda Maguire, the accessibility officer from Bus Erin.
Okay.
And Linda rang me yesterday afternoon to tell me that they are going to put low suspension buses on my route.
Yay! So this is a game changer, a life changer for you.
Oh, it means the world to me.
Fantastic.
It means the world to the people in Ballyshannon that have been fully behind this campaign, who need the service. Sligo IT, here I come. But not only that, they have made the whole route from Derry to Sligo from August will be wheelchair accessible. There are 28 communities, 28 stops. So not only the wheelchair users, our elderly, people with walking difficulties, will now be able to access transport where they weren't getting on the high floor.
That is fantastic news, Vicky. I'm so delighted. And I am speaking to Victoria Matthews, who took part in News Talk's Take Home a TD. She's campaigning. And that's what we said. Take Home a TD, tell them your issues. She's campaigned for wheelchair accessible buses. And what happened? She got wheelchair accessible buses.
I said, I don't like the look of him, and I brought him down to the GP and got him an antibiotic because she said he might contract pneumonia from the chest infection, so I'll stop it in its tracks with an antibiotic. And by the Thursday, I said to Joe, I said, he's not getting any better. I said, I don't like the look of him. And then what was putting me off was the hospitals were telling people not to turn up at their door if it was only a flu-like symptom that they had, because you were inundated with people. So that was in the back of my mind, and I said, right, I'm not going to do that. I'd be turned away. I'll bring him back down to GP. And I was sitting, Sean was sitting over there in that chair on the Thursday night, and he stopped breathing. And I called for Joe, and Joe did CPR on him while I was looking at that. An image I'll never get out of my head.
And was it just a simple case of he was talking to you and then he...
Yeah, he was. He was trying his best. His chest was in on him and said, this is doing my head in. That's what he said to me. And we were just talking and he stopped talking. I said, that's not right. And I checked him straight away and I couldn't wake him. So.
My personal question to you is this. Is there a moment in the privacy of your own bed, on your own at night, where you look at where we ended up right now and where we may end up, and when you look at the level of division within British society, leave aside the politicians, you know, and the extent of divisiveness of this, do you have any regrets about foisting this on the British society?
I believe in liberty. I believe in freedom. I believe in democracy, and I believe in the nation state. What price? Freedom. And the reason we've got this division in our country.
Happy Thursday, and may I take this opportunity to say you're all looking great. The reason why I say that is because it's National Compliment Day. Tomorrow is National Insincerity Day, where I'll tell you all that you're all looking great.
Would you report it to the club management? Or?
No, I don't think anyone I've known, if that happened, you wouldn't report it.
No. I think our outfits definitely play a part. Do you guys think? If we are dressed in a certain way, we're dressed like a slut.
In quotation marks.
It's definitely Dennis Jen turned out. It's like, well, they were dressed like that, so.
I got cradled tonight.
You got cradled?
Someone picks me up and, like, cradled me.
Someone told me to pull my skirt down, right?
Yeah.
What?
And yeah, they actually tugged it. And I was like, excuse me, if I want to put it down, I'll put it to it myself.
Somebody tried to pull your skirt down.
He did pull that skirt down.
Yeah.
He grabbed it.
In here?
No,
Temple Bar.
Temple Bar, yeah.
And what was your reaction?
I was just like slapping them away. I was like, if I want to put my skirt down, I'll do it myself, man.
You're making a statement like you're a proud Englishman, you're coming to play for Ireland, and you're standing there, you're singing the national anthem with pride, you're kissing the badge with pride. It doesn't. How can you do that? You can't do that, knowing full well that he's talked about his family heritage and where and what his grandparents have come from, what they've meant to him, everything within that. It can never ever just come down to you saying, I'm an Englishman now, I kind of like playing for Ireland because it suited my needs at that particular time. You think of all the players that have come through the system here and what it means to them. I understand that when I first probably came into the 21 squad, there'd have been a lot of people within that setup or around in the 21 setup when I was there that would have been uneasy with me. Who's this guy coming to take my shirt? Who's this guy? Yet he's taken the shirt and now he's kind of shit all over it further on down the line.
When you've been in to see an oncologist who says, now we have to cut off your penis.
Yeah.
You might have a similar reaction, did you?
Well, I wanted a second opinion.
Yes. Very much so, yes.
Wait a minute, mate. I'm going to have to get a second opinion on this. And fortunately, I phoned my doctors in London, in South London, and said, I've got cancer of the penis. Oh, yeah? Oh, you better come in and see us. So I booked an appointment, got on a plane, got out of Australia, probably with a guy waving a scythe at the airport, going, come back! It's mine! You're mine!
This is News Talk.
Now, I've been joined by our political correspondent, Sean Defoe, who has had first sight of the terms of reference for the PwC report into the overspend at the National Children's Hospital. So what does it say, Sean?
Well, what it says is we're going to have this review done by March 22nd. It goes into a whole lot of detail about how it'll be done and what will be looked at. But I think the headline that is going to grab people is the very last line in the document, which says, the review will deal with the role and accountability of the relevant key parties, but will stop short of determining culpability at any individual level. So in other words, there's no finger pointing here.
Accountability but no culpability.
This is difficult for me to do, as from the first time my father raped me, to say I was scared would be an understatement. Because how do I really explain what he had done to me? I was petrified. I was robbed. I was controlled. I was raped by my own father. A man, a father, who is meant to protect his child and children, to provide a safe, secure environment for a child to grow up in. But instead of protecting me, he was the one who done the harm.
Andrea, do you have a tactic for this?
Oh, 100% mute. Literally every group conversation and most individuals that I have conversations with on WhatsApp.
Is that why you never respond then? Yeah?
That's exactly it. And then you know the way politically you can't leave the groups?
Like Kieran has no problem doing this.
You just choose not to do it.
No, because then you become the subject of another WhatsApp group because you left that group.
But who cares what people say about you,
Andrea? That's true enough, actually. Yeah.
Vincent, you don't care what people say about you.
I thought WhatsApp was an old Budweiser ad.
I hope you don't care what people say about you. Seriously, I was under pressure to be fresh-faced. And you know, obviously I got married 5 years ago. I mean, yeah, in my forehead, yeah. But like, because I tell stories, I need a bit of expression.
Sorry, JP,
in my face.
Can we try and dig out a picture of Jason McAteer on his wedding day, please?
Seriously.
So when's it, about 5 years ago?
Yeah, I've not had it since.
And did it do
a lie, a lie. I can't lie when Kev's around.
I can't believe you're getting bloody Botox.
My father-in-law's death brought the death of my own dad rushing back as if it was yesterday. Time helps, but it doesn't heal. Ah, bless. Look, I'm thinking of you, and I kind of relate to that one too. Brian is on the line. Brian, tell me your story. Do you relate to that last text?
I relate to an awful lot of it. My father passed away when I was 25, and obviously I did suffer grief at that stage. Excuse me. But it only really hit me when I became 51 myself. And I realised
how young... Is that the age he was when he passed?
My father was 51 when he passed away, yeah.
Okay.
And it was like somebody just hit me with a hammer. Because I realised how young he actually was and how much life was left. And all the things that were there for him to do.
Yeah.
He never met my children.
No.
And it, look, even to this day, talking about him makes it very, very difficult, to be honest.
Yeah, I understand that totally.
You know, so... I can't talk about this, Kerry.
Look, do you know what? You don't have to. I hear exactly what you're saying. And despite it being in the past, it's still with you.
No, it never, ever goes away.
Yeah.
There's not a day goes by I don't start to think about him.
I know.
Listen, you have a good day.
You've set me off too, Brian. Thank you for that. I think we're going to take an out because, jeepers, I'm not able. This is what happens with Unscripted. You do not know where it's going to go.